We wanted to get an understanding of the threats, the cyber threats that people are facing potentially during this time. CEO of Checkmark Cyber and the Cyber Academy, David Cohen, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
How are you, Howard? How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So David, we're living in a completely changing world. And of course, it's been moving this way and everybody's been, people like yourselves have been talking about the threat of cyber for a long time. But now I would imagine, given the changing world that we're in, that has elevated and that's become even more important. Give us your sense of the environment.
So, Howard, thanks for that. And yes, that's true. And unfortunately, a lot of our business comes to bear once some significant incidents have happened. But if you've been following the trend around cyber awareness and IT security, then you'll realize that already last year in the, what we call the cyber index, that's an index that's taken by the multinational companies Aon and AIG, where they do a risk matrix for businesses. They were already moving the threat of a cyber attack to the number one spot for the first time in the last 10 years. So prior to coronavirus, you've seen this enormous spike that's seen cyber criminals taking advantage of people's lack of knowledge and awareness and actually exposing corporates around the world to enormous and significant losses, many not reported until the GDPR, which is the equivalent of the POPI legislation in Europe, came into effect, which forced companies to no longer hide cyber attacks, but to rather have to report them and the details thereof. British Airways is a good example for that. And even with the infrastructure, they were still fined £183 million. Wow. Pounds for the breach that happened on their website, which caused the exposure of 300,000 people's banking details. So it's already been going up dramatically, and it will continue to do so. This is not a fear-mongering thing. It's just a reality that's set in with unemployment around the world and surely unemployment steeply increasing now. A lot of very technical young people, and I say young people here because we can discuss that in a moment, are actually taking to crime because of their ability to manipulate people and to manipulate systems which people don't understand for ill-gotten gains. So yes, and now with COVID virus and us all moving home, what we've effectively done is we've moved in front of our firewalls and our network infrastructure. And that just exposes us all to hackers and their techniques, things that we might not have seen at our work because of advanced IT systems are now coming directly onto our computers, and we need to make a choice whether we're going to do what's asked of us or not to protect our company or to become another victim.
It's interesting. As you're talking, something's just popped up on my screen from the Washington Post saying everybody seems to be using Zoom, but its security flaws could leave users at risk. I don't want to discuss Zoom specifically, but it's very, very interesting because if we intend working, most of us, we are going to have to engage in all sorts of platforms. And because we're suddenly engaging in platforms that we might not have engaged in before, we also need to start thinking about all of this, these aspects of our own security.
Howard, you're 100% right. And if I could just say maybe something to the listeners, at the end of the day here, if we look at all the things that you can do, cyber awareness training is really the most important thing. If you look at the spike in cyber attacks, social engineering is by far the most prominent attack. That's sometimes not even IT, but it's the manipulation.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Through things called vishing, voice solicitation, or through interacting with you in an email, but in order to get you to do something that allows malware to be put on your computer. And when that happens, we have full access to your computer, 100% full access to your computer. So what we try to do is socially engineer people in order for them to give up certain of their credentials, which allow us access to their system, or for us to put malware on the business. Obviously, I'm talking from a white hat hacker perspective when we're helping people to learn how to better equip themselves for the problem. But social engineering is effectively responsible for between 80 and 90% of all cyber attacks. And this means that people have to become more aware of what they're doing. You can't simply open that email if it talks to you about things that you like. A strange email that talks to you about golf if you're a golfing professional and offers you a free round on that course, which we would all like to participate in now with the COVID lockdown, is something that you have to think very long and hard before and do some basic things to that email before you open it in order to protect yourself. An interesting survey that we did, and we came to a conclusion and built a program around this, Howard, was what we call a cyber posture analysis. Something that people should think about, because in your head you would know where you were on the matrix. We created a matrix with two axes, one guardedness and the other one attention to detail. We sat down with some industrial psychologists, and we looked at how people interact with social media. How guarded are you? How much do you post? Do you pay attention to detail? And by positioning yourself inside the matrix, there are very significant things that you could do yourself that would just help you become a better user, protect yourself and your own laptop or IT infrastructure at home, and certainly be, through your knowledge, a cyber sentinel protecting your business infrastructure. So these kind of things people need to be aware of. I mean, when you started to drive, Howard, your dad didn't just give you the car, although I suppose you may have stolen it in the early days.
But your dad, these aren't things that we're talking about right now. We're talking about cybersecurity.
Yes. Your dad taught you how to drive the car, then gave you the keys and took you around the block. When you got your first ATM card, no one just said, go draw money. People showed you how to do it.
Yeah.
And yet we put people on our network and we don't train them anything, just basic awareness. Yeah. And therefore expect them to protect our infrastructure or their own computers. And often then they fall foul to very, very sophisticated hackers.
So what is the solution? I'm assuming that, that the Cyber Academy, this is what you guys do training for this. Is that right? Yeah.
So the Cyber Academy and many other organizations have set up, and training is really the battleground in this area, in competition between businesses, to establish online and face-to-face training where we can take people right through an organization from any level worker right up to the CEO. And it's important to say that because sometimes the CEO doesn't know any more about his laptop. In fact, in many cases, he knows less than most of the other people in his organization. Right. But what we need to do is take those people through a course. It's actually not a particularly long course. Face-to-face, it's 1.5 hours, and online, we've developed a wonderful 6-hour interactive, very, very entertaining cyber training course where we introduce these issues like passwords and passwords protection. Very, very simple things how it can make you so much more safe. And maybe I'll throw this question out and you can ask your viewers if they know the idea. If they had to do one thing with their passport, with their passwords, what would be the most important thing to protect your password?
Well, let's ask Zanati because she's here.
I think let's ask Zanati. I think Zanati knows this area really well.
All right. So repeat that question. If you had to do one thing with your password.
One thing with your password, and there are many, many wonderful things that you can do to secure yourself more. But if you had to do one thing today to implement it, which would give you in this area a great degree of confidence that you were far more protected than you were yesterday, what would you do, Zanati?
Oh, yeah, I feel so bad because I feel like I put you on the spot and I have no idea what the answer is.
And this is probably something I shouldn't say because we are warned about this a lot.
Just tell us your password.
My password is very complicated.
Right, okay.
And I've used it for years, but it's one of those where, you know, you have that scale of weak, strong.
Yes, yes.
Mine is extremely strong.
Okay, fine.
But I do use it for everything. So maybe.
Oh, maybe saying change it up a
bit
in some things.
Change it up a bit. But but this is the thing, because I'm so confident in it that, because it's extremely.
Yes, until somebody finds it.
Yeah, no.
And then it doesn't help. All right, David, what's the answer?
Okay, so just to burst the Nazi's bubble then, maybe we can just say the following. We've got servers in our office where any 8-character password, uppercase, lowercase, special characters, Within 2 minutes, we'll crack that. We've got a server that'll guess 24 billion combinations a second.
Wow.
So, Zanati, if you are 8 character, you are going to be cracked within 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes, and we'll know your password.
That's unbelievable.
If you increase that to 10 characters, it's going to take about 4 hours. And if you get to 16 characters, it's going to take over 4 months. So Howard, the answer to the question is simple. Length does count.
Mm.
It really, really does.
Right.
What we should be doing there is we're very good at typing. We're becoming a digitalized nation. So type a sentence. I'm singing in the rain.
Right.
Something to remember.
Oh, that's so
easy
clever.
Type,
yeah.
Very hard to hack. And inside there, you've got capitals, you've got spaces, which are special characters, and you've got yourself a wonderful password that you can protect and won't be cracked easily. You might be a victim of some other type of attack, but for me, just getting your password, it's going to become literally impossible for me to do that.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely amazing. That is such an incredibly useful tip. And I love the idea of even just using a phrase, because, you know, when you were talking about this, I was thinking, there's just no ways I'm going to use a 16 figure or whatever it is, digit code, because I'll never remember it. But if you say use a phrase, it doesn't mean that somebody will be able to know what that phrase is. David, before I let you go, how do people get hold of, if people want training, or if people want more information around security, during their environment, how do they get hold of you?
So I think the email address to use, and we've got a team of people that will get back to people really quickly, info@thecyberacademy.co.za. There's a wonderful interactive website where you can pick up a lot of information. And there's the training courses that you can look at. And obviously we want people to understand that better. And we are running a special, Howard, that the first 100 people can do the course for free. Thereafter, we're running an 80% discount. So for just 250 Rand, you can have 6 hours of the most wonderful interactive, entertaining and stimulating training while you sit down and you look at the rain now and think about what the next week will look like. Will it look a lot better than this? And I really bless you all that it should. Amen. And the whole country should look a lot better each day as we move through this really terrible and different time.
Absolutely. David Cohen, thank you very, very much. Fascinating.